the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
To start the first show of the new year. And happy new year to you, political cesspool fans, wherever you may be. James Edwards here with you. Saturday, January 5th, 2013. Here we are in our flagship station here in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM/FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to our friends and listeners around the world at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Keith Alexander in studio with me to start off the new year, just as we finished the last one. And that truly was a very stirring rendition of Auld Lang Syne. It is a Scottish bagpipe version, and it's up on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can listen and watch the whole thing. That's our heritage, folks, and it's beautiful, and it's really something that motivates the soul. Our first show of 2013 is going to be a barn burner. We're going to be kicking it off tonight. You know, during the month of December, we were kind of lean on the guest list. I don't think we had any featured guests on with us during the month of December. We were playing a lot of the Christmas songs and certainly covering a lot of news, but taking it easy with regards to our scheduling. Tonight, it's a new year. It's a new ball game. Kevin MacDonald, the great Kevin MacDonald, Dr. Kevin MacDonald, professor of psychology at California State University, Long Beach, and author or editor of several books, will be returning to the cesspool during tonight's third hour. So we're kicking off the new year with one of our greatest guests, one of our all-time favorites. Winston Smith will be calling in as well during the second hour. He'll be on to issue his annual Top 10 Most Hateful Moments of 2012. Last week, we did the Top 10 Moments of the Cesspool in the year that was. This week, another Top 10 list, the Most Hateful Moments of 12. From Winston Smith, who will be calling in with the aid of a courtroom transcriptionist. Well, Keith, as I said, it's good to be with you tonight. And over the course of the last week, since the last broadcast, you and I had a little bit of a sportsman's weekend, if you will. Why don't you tell the audience what we did over the course of the last couple of days? And then we're going to kick the show off in earnest with a lot of news before we get to Winston's Top 10 and Kevin MacDonald, respectively.
Let me first congratulate whoever it was that chose that intro music. That was so emblematic of the Anglo-Celtic core of the founding stock of America. And we need to remember that is the founding stock of America. We should never back away from that. And we really don't have to be okay or down with watering that down. There's no such thing as a propositional nation. I think Kevin MacDonald will tell you later in this program where that particular idea came from. We are a blood and soil nation just like every other, and our nation was founded and rose to greatness under its Anglo-Celtic core. Now, about the sportsman's weekend, James, throughout, Okay. Well, great. We'll be on there with we've got a caller coming in, James, so we'll let me finish up these comments, and then we'll get to that caller. But James, from the time he was knee-high to a grasshopper, apparently was a Portland Trailblazers fan, dating back from the days when people in the know called them the Jailblazers.
And you saw a picture of me in 94.
I saw a picture of James as a stripling, I mean, wearing a pair of, you know, horn-rimmed glasses, looking like Mr. Peepers or something, standing with various luminaries and grandees of the Portland Trailblazers organization, the coach, the announcers, some of the players and whatnot. He's got a whole box full of memorabilia. He apparently sent adoring fan mail to them. So when the Trailblazers came to Memphis to play the Grizzlies, James woke up out of his winter hibernation, sprung for a ticket, and went down there and cheered his head off for the Trailblazers and against the home team. And lo and behold, James pulled them through. The Trailblazers won by 2 points. And I ran into one of the luminaries of the Grizzlies, I won't use his name, over the weekend, and told him that I had this friend who was a dyed-in-the-wool Trailblazers fan, and that how dismayed I was that he rooted against the home team. But James is a man who has loyalties that have been set in stone early on in his life, and he's not going to budge from them, and I guess we ought to all be grateful for that. Now, on the other hand, I have this irrational liking for the Ole Miss Rebels, even though Ole Miss has proven to be as traitorous an institution as possibly could be to the interests of the Anglo-Celtic core of America. They've had a bunch of change agents brought in there, like Manchurian candidates from Harvard and Yale, that have done their best to banish all the Confederate memorabilia and symbolism associated with the school. But I was nonetheless happy to see them prevail in the Copper Bowl against Pitt. Pitt, which is the alma mater of Mark May of ESPN, who is always making fun of the hottie-totty cheer at Ole Miss. I hope he gets that rung in his ears by some of his friends, okay? Now, James, let me give this back to you.
Yeah, just about last night. I mean, yes, it's bread and circus, okay? I know it. When I was a kid, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, I was a big Blazers fan. And, you know, we talked about this not long ago, is that, you know, now if I see the score, you know, I'd rather them win than lose. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And it's not that I care so much about them anymore. I've obviously grown into a man, and the things that I'm passionate for have changed. It's no longer basketball teams. It's our people. It's politics. It's this movement. It's my family, so on and so forth. But all that being said, and actually, I didn't pay for the tickets. They were given to me. You know, when you're a quasi-celebrity, as I am, you don't even have to be a liked celebrity like Kim Kardashian. You can be a notorious celebrity, Keith, like we are in the Memphis area, and you can still be given tickets. It's just, it's not a matter of if you're a good guy or a bad guy in their eyes. If you're somebody, you get connections, you know people, and somehow you wind up on the front row where I was last night. And yeah, you know, for 2 hours, listen, you can't always be on the front lines. And so for 2 hours last night, I laid down my sword. I went to the game with my brother and had a good time. And you watched the game today. And we can do that. We have filters in our brains. It doesn't mean we're sucked into this like all the other drooling Americans. But
if you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Long Range Patrol Ration Entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
We're starting slow tonight, but we're going to finish strong, and that's what counts. So we're about to talk politics, I promise, here on the political cesspool. But I was so excited to retell my story that I ran right into the commercial break in that last segment. So just to wrap it up before we go to a caller all the way in Alaska, Keith tuned into the cesspool tonight. I was just going to say, yes, obviously as a 32-year-old man, I don't go and cheer for a team as an 8-year-old boy would. But anytime Portland is in town, if I have the opportunity to go, I like to go because, and I've told the story before, back in the late 80s, early 90s, I remember just growing up as a young kid watching these games with my dad on the couch. And so even now as a 32-year-old man, I have not just fond memories, but a soft spot in my heart for the team that my father and I watched on the couch together when I was a boy. And so I'm not so much cheering for, the people who are on that team, but I'm cheering for the boy who watched with his father. And Keith, a final comment from you. We're going to get to work after this. It's the new year.
Well, to tie it all together, James goes to see the Portland Trailblazers for Auld Lang Syne.
There it is.
That's
there
exactly right. Yeah, see, for those old mystic chords of memory that Abraham Lincoln talked about that define the nation. James respects that childhood affinity he used to have for the Portland Trailblazers and carries it forward. Now, I understand we have a caller on the line, James. Let me hand this to you. Chris from Alaska is calling in, I understand. Is that right?
Chris, yes, you're on sir. The air.
Well, gentlemen, it's a pleasure to talk to you again. I spoke to you a couple weeks ago. And there was an interesting blog post about what's 2013 going to hold for
right.
what's left of America. And I've got to say I enjoyed the show. And I think 2013 is the year that you either go paleo conservative or you go extinct. And the reason I say that is this fiscal cliff deal was a joke, as you both know. And I saw something recently that 10 states, to include Kentucky, Alabama, Mississippi, New York, Maine, Ohio, California, Illinois, all have more people on welfare than they do working.
Chris, why do you think that is? This is Keith. What do you think the elite are trying to do to the American people by putting so many people on welfare?
Well, in Maine and Kentucky and in Ohio, it's the jobs that would have been done by working-class white people that have been driven out of business by environmentalists, and others that went away.
And the last thing they want to do is to bring those jobs back with a reasonable program like Pat Buchanan's proposal that we erect tariff barriers or similar barriers to foreign manufactured goods and thereby draw things back to, you know, manufacturing enterprises back to the United States so we can get those manufacturing sector jobs that pay twice as much typically as a service sector job plus have benefits. That's what would draw people off of welfare, but they don't want to do that because
they're
globalists.
No, they don't. The reason, of course, that
right?
Mississippi and Alabama and California and New York all have major welfare problems is minorities.
Well,
and I know
welfare is
week,
primarily a minority problem, but they seem to be trying to entice non-minorities into the welfare web. At least that's what I see happening around here. Do you see that in Alaska?
Oh, of course, yeah. But the reason I say that 2013 is the year that either you go paleoconservative or you go extinct, and why I think that you'll see serious secession movements across the South really start to pick up steam, and more people will be coming to the same conclusions Festival does, is quite simply we can't afford it anymore. And you and I both know that the reason Mississippi and Alabama have such huge welfare populations is the 40-some-odd percent of the state that's black.
And furthermore, that's why Alabama and Mississippi and some of these Deep South states always are at the bottom of academic achievement. It's not that the white people in those states are subpar intellectually. It's that the black part of the population tends to be subpar.
Well, in to that, there was something about Texas last year that Texas, because of its relatively conservative way of educating, the black folks and Mexicans in Texas did much better than the non-union or than the non-unionized Texas under the old-fashioned way of educating actually got better results than the heavily unionized Wisconsin. And Paul Krugman came out with this column talking about how Texas did this horrible job educating people, when really the old-fashioned values that Texas uses to run the school system are pretty effective. But the last thing I wanted to talk about was that last week you talked about anti-Semitism quite a bit, I think, or 2 weeks ago.
Well, for what passes for anti-Semitism anyway, I guess.
Well, and I just wanted to make the point that several people on the left, I'm sure the SPLC is salivating over this phone call, would call that racism. And it's not racist to note that the vast majority of Jews in America or Jews worldwide are really kind of atheist Jews. They don't actually practice Judaism as it's the Bible. And I've got no problem, and I suspect you don't either, with the Hasidic Jews in New York. You know, they want to be left alone. They want to leave you alone as long as they're decent neighbors, don't commit any crimes, don't, you know, that's fine. I got no problem with them. They're good conservatives. They have good families. They raise good kids. And they want to be left alone, just like you and me.
Well, let me make some comments on that so I can clarify our position at least, and I think it probably dovetails with yours. I was not always aware of Jewish power and influence, but as I became more serious in my study of ideology in America and the triumph of liberalism, I kept noticing with alarming regularity that all the footprints seemed to go back to the Jewish camp. You know, who were the people in charge of radical feminism? Betty Friedan, Gloria Steinem, people like that. In every left-wing movement, there seemed to be Jewish people at the head, and Jewish people seemed to be the yeast that made the dough rise in liberalism. They were the secret ingredient that made it all click. And as I started looking into that, it was just amazing to me that a group of people that now, according to the latest census, are only 1.7% of the total American population wield such power. We have, for example, 8 major movie studios in America now. All 8 have a Jewish CEO. And basically, if America is turning liberal, it's turning liberal because that's the way that the Jewish leadership wants it to go.
Well, and to dovetail with that, America is home to approximately half the world's Jews. and right. Israel the other half, or thereabouts. I mean,
you know, Chris, I have a book that I love to read, and my wife got me a book for Christmas year before last that was talked about the – it was a geography book, but also had trivia on the different continents and countries of the world. And you can look at the index, and it has it broken down into race, where the races of the world reside. And this was a book she got at Barnes & Noble. It's a very mainstream book. And they have Jews listed in blue, and the two areas that are blue are Israel and New York. but listen, we're coming up on a break, and I don't want to, you know, cut off the call. And it's been a great call, and it's been an informative call, and we appreciate hearing from you, and we hope to hear from you again. You make great points, and you're very much a representative of the intelligence and class of our listening audience, and we appreciate you. And I also appreciate you for bringing up a couple of points. You mentioned the fiscal cliff deal. We've got a great article by our friend Mark Krieger, who really breaks down what's going on behind the scenes of this so-called fiscal cliff deal and what it was and what it wasn't. And that will appear on the blog on Monday. So those of you interested in reading from our perspective, an analysis on the fiscal cliff situation, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org on Monday. And you mentioned the blog entry that we posted, Sound Off, What Will 2013 Bring? I'm going to pick up with that, and we've got a couple of big items we want to bring to your attention over the course of the remainder of this hour before we move forward with tonight's show. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. I want to again thank our friend from Alaska for calling in. You know, Keith, as we were commenting during the commercial break, each and every time someone calls in, and we have a huge audience, but we don't take a lot of calls because of the controversial nature of the show. A lot of people are afraid to call in because this is a show that is certainly watched and monitored and every segment dissected. But for the people who do call in, without exception, it seems, they're always so observant and so well-spoken. And that is the rank-and-file listener, with all respect intended, of the political cesspool listening audience. And he brought up, what will 2013 bring? It was a open-ended blog post that I put up at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And you know, we believe in this, again, to accentuate the point, we think that we've got the most intelligent and most informed audience of any talk radio show in America. And we love having their input on the air, on the blog, wherever. We had several dozen comments on the blog today. And so we asked for you to give us your predictions for what you will think will happen in 2013. It could be one prediction or many, good news or bad news, it doesn't matter. Any topic, politics, the economy, culture, the media, etc. How many cities and which one will go bankrupt? Which newspapers will go out of business? Will the economy turn around? Which celebrities will have to grovel and apologize for so-called racist remarks that they make? Which politicians? Will we see signs of rising paleoconservative and racial consciousness among our people in 2013? What's in store for TPC this year? You know, so that was the just basically no holds barred, anything you want to talk about. What do you think is going to happen in 2013? We got some great responses to that, and we'd like to get some more. So go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and sound off. I'll tell you, the new year brought a new policy to the public school system of Philadelphia, Keith, and this, again, this is progress. This is what they would tell us passes for progress in this day and age. In 1994, when I was a student at Briarcrest Christian School, not long after I began watching the Portland Trailblazers with my father, I was 14 years old in 94. You know, and that's something I like to do as well, Keith, on this show, is I like the fact that we are who we are, and we take the time to let the audience get to know us, who we are and who we were, so they know the kind of men we are, both on the air and off. And I like relaying and sharing personal stories, family stories, intimate stories, because our audience is our extended family, and they are certainly privy to that sort of stuff. But in 94, I was a student at Briarcrest Christian School. I guess I was in the 7th or 8th grade at the time. And a girl in the senior class got pregnant. Now, and to my knowledge, this was the only time something like this ever happened during my many years at the school. And she was immediately expelled. There was a zero-tolerance policy for that kind of stuff. And if you crossed the line or broke the rules, you'd get made an example out of. Now, contrast that to the 2012 public school system in Philadelphia. Here is an article that I'll now read from the Philadelphia newspaper up there, the Daily Fish Wrap Servicing Philadelphia. And, of course, they call it the holiday break. God forbid they call it the Christmas break. But coming over the holiday break to Philadelphia high schools, clear plastic dispensers chock full of free condoms. The dispensers we placed in the high schools whose students had the highest rates of sexually transmitted diseases, and condoms will be available to any student so long as their parents did not sign a form opting them out of the program. It's a program designed to address, quote, an epidemic of sexually transmitted disease in adolescents in Philadelphia, said Donald Schwartz, the deputy mayor for Health and Opportunity. Since April 2011, the city has given away about 4 million condoms. But Schwartz pointed out 25% of new HIV infections in Philadelphia are amongst teenagers. All right, so, you know, we've always known that across America, inner city public schools, schools are pretty much just K through 12 daycare centers. But why encourage promiscuous and immoral and unhealthy behavior at taxpayer expense? I mean, abstinence truly is the only way you're going to get around this stuff. And where are the parents of these kids? And that's a whole other topic of conversation. But, all right, just say
okay, the best way is to tell them to be safe and go out there and do their thing, but just be safe. But if these kids are so hell-bent on having sex, can they truly not buy their own birth control like everybody else? You know you can go to a gas station at any port of call in a downtown area and get one for a quarter. Why are the taxpayers subsidizing this sort of lifestyle? But, you know, the main story is, and by the way, we've got a picture of this. These condom dispenser boxes look like basically a female torso going down to the bottom where you reach up and pull out a prophylactic. But, you know, this is the problem in schools today, Keith. Did you see this kind of problem in 1952? You know, the fact that 25% of all new HIV cases and sexually transmitted diseases were coming out of high schools. And was there a need for this in 1952, 1953, 1954, at least the winter of 54, before the Brown versus Board decision and then so on? What do you make of this story?
Well, it's a good indicator, an index of the increasing secularization and liberalization of American culture generally. If you'll note, back in the early 1950s, in the 60s, even in the 60s, there was such a concept as sin, and sin was shameful. It was shameful to have children outside of wedlock. Only 1.5% of the white population in 1950 had children outside of wedlock. Only 22% of the black population of America back then had children out of wedlock. It was also shameful to contract a sexually transmitted disease. And if someone did either have a child out of wedlock or contract a sexually transmitted disease, then the authorities knew what to do with that person. And it was not to coddle them or to hand them a brace of condoms so they could protect themselves while continuing with their immoral lifestyle. They would go about trying to correct that immoral lifestyle. But we now have newly manufactured collective sins that are much more important than any individual sins. For example, contracting sexually transmitted diseases, having children outside of wedlock, no shame involved in either of those things whatsoever in today's America. What are the big things to be ashamed of? Well, there are these collective sins like racism or homophobia or anti-Semitism, things that aren't sins at all, but have been invented by the left to demonize conservative instincts and the behavior of paleoconservatives in particular. This is what the new America, this is the golden calf that they worship. And in the meantime, I've noticed that with the left, they seem to be mad at God about the concept of sin. For example, homosexual advocates are mad that AIDS tends to crop up with much more frequency in the gay population than in the straight population, and also that it tends to crop up more in minority or non-white populations than it does in white populations, particularly the black and the Hispanic population. So consequently, all of our research in medicine all the resources tend to be diverted towards trying to find cures for things like AIDS and not equal opportunity maladies like cancer or heart disease. If they put one-tenth of the effort into trying to cure cancer that they do into curing AIDS or extending the lives of people that contract AIDS, they undoubtedly would have had a cure for it by now, but that's not the way that the left wants the world to run. They basically want to give the finger to the Almighty and say, we're going to do our best to thwart the natural consequences of sin. And as I recall from the Bible, it says that the wages of sin are death, James.
Well, that's right, and I will read you another thing that the Bible has to say, and that is, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 out of the New King James Version, which is exactly the way God spoke it, and that's the Bible that I use. But nevertheless, if that admonition doesn't apply to the media and to the government, I don't know what does, Keith. And you know, back in the 50s, you know, it took a big court case for there to even be allowed such a thing as birth control. Anyone even using birth control was seen as, dare I say, progressive. But now it's got to the point where not only is that just a socially accepted norm, now it's gotten to the point that you got to be giving them out to kids in public schools just to keep them from killing themselves with rampant deviant behavior.
Well, I'll tell you a little personal story. There is a relative of ours who is a kind of precocious little boy, and on a dare from some other friends, he went into a convenience store. Okay, well, I'll get back to this after this break. We've got a break coming up from our sponsors. Talk to you on the other side.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, so now with the dawn of a new year in Philadelphia, you need a condom, you go get it at your local public school. Now, could you walk in there and get one, Keith, if you wanted one? Now, you're paying for it. You know, the school system isn't paying for it, or I guess they are with the taxpayers' dollars. But in addition to that, Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio, who's at the network studio tonight, he came with an absolutely
incredible point he made to us during the commercial break, and I'd like for you to relay that to the audience, too, before we go to our last story of the hour.
Well, Sam's point was that nations, unlike individuals, don't have to wait for judgment. They are judged immediately by God, as was Sodom and Gomorrah, and that America and the world, the Western world, seems to be experiencing a lot of calamities that may be traceable to the fact that they have decided to mock God's law. And as the Bible, at least the King James Bible, clearly notes, God is not mocked. And people that try to call good evil and evil good and bring about all sorts of calamities on society as a result, for example, racial integration of the public schools. What has that done to public education in America? Is that good fruit or corrupt fruit? What has it done to the urban centers of a lot of America? It's turned them into wastelands because it's driven the responsible part of the population out to the suburbs. This is God's judgment. This declining world that we live in is basically because we've forgotten God's laws and we've allowed other people to misinterpret God's law for us.
And speaking of what went to them that call good evil and evil good, establishment news outlets are always quick to vilify conservatives as racists and Christians as intolerant and bigoted homophobes. You know, again, you're bad. You're evil if you objectively criticize homosexuality from a Christian standpoint. Those who accept and embrace and promote homosexuality, which is absolutely and strictly forbidden and condemned in the Bible, are great. All right? Look, I know about it all too well, being in the public eye, being a media figure. I know. I'm the bad guy. That's what I get told every day for having traditional points of views on certain subjects. So I'm a bad guy. I love my wife. I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. I work for a living. I provide for my family. I pay my bills. I go to church. I'm the bad guy, okay? I am the kind of guy that no one wants to be like if you listen to the media. But what, Keith, about a reality television whore who announces that she's having a baby with her rapper boyfriend while still being married to her husband? Well, of course, that is cause for not only celebration, but adulation. That is the kind of woman that all girls should strive to be like. That's the kind of woman that you want your daughter to emulate. Of course, I'm talking about Kim Kardashian, who announced recently that she is pregnant, not only out of wedlock. I mean, she is married, but the guy who got her pregnant is not her husband. And this is just, if you read from the USA Today to all those supermarket tabloids, it's nothing if not effusive praise. Oh, how great. Kim's having a baby. Jump for joy. And just everything you've read about this story, her and Kanye West, the rapper who upstaged Taylor Swift, who burned Confederate flags during his concert, you know, these two people getting together and having a baby, this is just the greatest, most positive, glorious story of the new year thus far. And it's everywhere. It's all over Hollywood media, social gossip sites, and even, as I said, all the way up to the USA Today, they're just talking about what a good feel-good story this is. Now, keep in mind that Kim Kardashian first became a celebrity a few years back, and I use the word celebrity loosely, after it is alleged her mother released to the media a homemade sex tape of her performing with a previous black rapper boyfriend. Now, this type of behavior should be shamed, not exalted. But that's how the Kardashian family, other than her father, Robert Kardashian, who his great service to humanity was getting O.J. Simpson off the hook. This is how the Kardashian brood came to become household names through their reality television through this sex tape of Kim Kardashian a few years back when I believe she was a teenager. Now, for his part, Kanye West, her baby daddy, who is waiting for her to get divorced so he can marry her, has written a love song about Kim called, and he entitled it Perfect Female Dog, although he didn't, that's not exactly the name of the song, but the name of the song is Perfect, and you know what I'm getting at. And he talks about how it's his love anthem for Kim Kardashian, and this is what he calls her. Now, normally, Keith, calling a woman that would be frowned upon, and it would certainly get you condemned by feminist organizations as well as it should. I mean, by anyone, you know, you just don't call women that. But this guy does it,
And because he's a black rapper, I guess, or a rapper or whatever, it's all good. It's forgiven. Here it is. So this is the story. And it's, they love it. I mean, this sort of behavior, this is what they want all of us to be like. This is the kind of behavior that Hollywood celebrates and exemplifies. And we have one comment, Keith, on the blog that I want to read that I really think strikes to the heart of the matter. And it comes from Ken is his name at thepoliticalcesspool.org. He says, any normal person should be repulsed by this kind of immoral behavior. But it's important that our anger and revulsion is directed to where it truly belongs. Who decided that Kanye West had any talent and gave him a record contract? Who decided that the Kardashians deserve fame and fortune for accomplishing absolutely nothing? Who keeps rubbing our faces in the lives of these lowlives by keeping the media saturated with quote-unquote news like the story at hand? The answer is the usual suspects. Kanye West and Kim Kardashian are just the pawns. The whole point is to keep destroying morals in our society. That is the agenda.
And, of course, it's a morality associated with the founding stock of America, the Anglo-Celtic core of the founding stock of America, that the usual suspects, as they say, find so repulsive.
And so this is what we're talking about here. Again, for the third or fourth time, we'll say the biblical admonition, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Well, how many times has the political cesspool been raked over the coals by the media, and that same media glorifies behavior such as this? Obviously, something's backward. But obviously, it doesn't matter to them.
Well, let me, I had a point I wanted to make before. The fact that Kanye West can call his baby mama the name associated with a female dog and not be criticized by the shrill feminist that would decry, for example, James or me, if we were to use that type of language, is a perfect example of the cultural Marxist technique called repressive tolerance. In other words, you don't tolerate anything from the right, but you tolerate everything from the left. And in the cultural Marxist paradigm, the good guys are the non-whites and the bad guys are whites. So consequently, a black guy can say absolutely anything, particularly a black celebrity, and it will go without any type of negative comment. They can use the N-word with impunity, for example. On the other hand, if a bad guy, i.e. a white person, were to use that word, either the B word or the N word, they would be roundly criticized, they would have their careers ended and destroyed. And that's the new American standard that we're all supposed to live through.
I was just pumping my fist, Keith. I wasn't pointing for you to turn the reins back over to me. I think you're on a roll here. But and as we've always said, the utter hypocrisy and double standards employed by the media on a daily basis and nearly a case-by-case basis with any given story never seems to bother them. They trip over it, they fall flat on their face, and it's so easy to point out and to ridicule and mock. But they're completely unfazed.
Herbert Marcuse was the one who invented the concept of repressive tolerance. He wrote a pamphlet about it back in the 50s. And this is a perfect textbook example of repressive tolerance in action. Now, again, why is this so dangerous? Why is the Kardashian phenomenon so dangerous to society? And why is Kim Kardashian being featured by the mainstream media, which is controlled by the usual destructive suspects? Well, the reason she is she is the poster girl for interracial sexual relations, which is something that they want to promote. They know that there are a lot of girls, in particular, in America that are growing up in single-parent homes because of the divorce epidemic, and these people don't have, these girls don't have proper parental control or guidance because they lack a father in the home. So they turn to the television, they turn to the popular culture, they turn to the tabloids that they see as they're checking out of the grocery store, and they see that being like the Kardashians is the ticket to fame and fortune. This is how you get your ticket punch. This is how you live the life of Riley without having any discernible talent. And consequently, they are like sirens drawing people onto the rocks of life. What is going to happen to most girls who wind up linking up with a guy like Kanye West and having a child out of wedlock? Total disaster, and that's what they want for you.
All right, folks, 1 hour down for the first show of 2013. Two to go, and Kevin McDonald still waiting in the wings. And you're not going to want to miss what he has to say during tonight's third and final hour. All still forthcoming tonight on the Political Cesspool. James Edwards and Keith Alexander back in a flash here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.